Hello.
Oh, it's recording now.
It is recording now.
Oh my gosh. Elder millennials for the win.
Technology is terrible.
Technology's hard.
It's so hard. This is not what we got PhDs in.
Did you ever see the Barbie doll that was like, they took it off the shelf because she was like college Barbie. And she would, you pulled the string or something, and she would say, "Math is hard."
I remember that, yes.
They're like, maybe not.
Maybe don't make it seem like girls can't
do math. And then we start with this.
When we start immediately being unable to do technology.
So, hi, guys.
Hi,
yes. Hi. So this is our new podcast because no one else is doing it, Christy.
This is a completely original idea that we had.
We like to be innovators, mm-hmm. and
we like to be early on the trend thing and not incredibly late.
I think we're influencers. Is that what that is?
Absolutely. Influencing the world. Maybe a bunch of other white men will like to do podcasts after we do this one.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine? Maybe they'll even start true crime podcasts, because I feel like that's been like,
that seems like a solid gold idea. People are on that.
You know what else I had an idea about? Okay, this is legit. I don't know if you've seen this TikTok. I'm a voyeur on TikTok. I don't do TikTok, but like there was a whole like trend of this girl talking about what if we had a phone, but it was a permanent phone.
But it's always in the house and it's maybe connected to the wall.
And there was a guy who stitched with it and was basically like, oh, she's talking about a house phone.
She's talking about a landline. She wants a landline.
So the same energy that girl had
is us right now.
Is us right now about yes. We're gonna get drinks and then we're gonna talk about theology.
Very innovative idea.
Super innovative.
I mean, but that is what we're gonna do.
That is, and we are actually friends. Which helps. You don't laugh that much. Well, maybe you do. I guess if you're kind of fake.
It's a different laugh. It's
a different laugh. The faculty meeting laugh. It's a different laugh.
Laugh is a different laugh. Don't tell my colleagues.
Oh yeah, I won't. I don't know that I can say the internet won't, but I certainly won't go to your institution and tell them. So how about we take a minute and tell people who we are, because we're super famous and they know by our names who we are already.
I think that's a great idea. I do.
All right.
We could also,
go ahead, real quick,
just again, remind everybody that they're listening to Theology on the Rocks podcast.
I think at this stage, you're supposed to say subscribe.
Subscribe.
Like, ring the bell. Or that may be a different place.
Yeah, ring the bell. Ring a bell.
You could just ring a bell.
Like it.
Listen to it. Thing,
all of that. Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be helpful because, you know, in our lucrative academic careers, it's nice to have people like things. Although we don't make money off this. So I don't even know why it's lucrative. But
well, I mean, it's that validation we're constantly seeking.
All you psychologists out there,
have fun.
Please remember academics like validation more than money. It's very strange. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
Why don't you go first?
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
So, hi, I'm Leah, guys. The Reverend Doctor, if you want to get fancy. I'm from a place called Ringgold, Georgia. It's in North Georgia. In the Appalachians. I don't even know if it's considered in. I think I'm at the foothills of the Appalachians. Yeah. I'm near Chickamauga for all you Civil War people buffed out there. All the multitudes of people who know that are Civil War. Well, that's what everyone says to me whenever I mention that. They're like, Chickamauga!
And I'm going to have to look that up.
It's a battlefield, and it's the bloodiest two-day war of the Civil War, or two-day battle of the Civil War. But it mostly was where we would go to cause trouble.
That makes sense.
Romantically and otherwise. So people would say that. I'm like, do you know what a
do you know what happened?
Our secrets? That's the North Georgia secrets. So I academically, I guess, I got a degree undergraduate in psychology and religion at a liberal arts school. And then I went to Mercer University to seminary and got my MDiv. And then I was ordained in the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. Woot woot. Yeah. And then went to get my PhD in Edinburgh. So Christy and I actually are technically rivals in that. Yeah. We have the a lot of
seated hatred.
We have a lot of that. I think that it's much like Canada and the US, I think, and you can tell me more, guys, if you're from Canada. But it feels like they hate us more than we hate them. But that could be
just rude.
That could be perceived.
You should at least pretend to hate us.
Oh, sorry. We think about you often.
Mm-hmm, thank
we're
you.
Mad and we're mad about it.
Thank
that,
you.
Was that convincing?
Yes.
We get in kilts and we ride at dawn to So I did I'm a practical theologian, and I did my dissertation on reconciliation and peace building in Northern Ireland. And I do some dabbling in that theology world. Christy is my systematic friend. She reads my stuff. So if it sucks in that world, you can blame her.
Yep.
If it sucks in the practical theology world, you're
That's
wrong.
Your fault.
No, you're wrong.
That sounds about right.
Because there's like 9 of us and you're wrong. She has a much tougher gig than I do.
And you have a book out.
I do have a book out, yeah, which is being publicized by many a wonderful friend. It's called Bad Theology, Oppression in the Name of God. It's out with SCM Press. Special shout out to those folks. And it's out now.
It's out. It's in the world.
It's in the world, which I have to say, it's my first book after my dissertation. When you write your dissertation, you feel like your PhD dissertation, that if it's not good at this stage, after all these years and people reading it, then that's really just like everyone you know's fault. That stage. Yeah.
Well, and also, again, I would say that they're wrong.
They're also wrong. But you spent a lot of time in the library, okay?
A lot of people have helped fix that.
Yes.
And approved it. And so if you don't agree, it's your own problem.
And you had to defend it against your peers. So by the end, when you give it to a publisher, the publisher, like, look.
This
there's not much more I can do with this.
Yeah. Like, don't make me get it really.
Right. But the book you write after that is a little bit, it's like, okay, well, that's on you. Like, you know, this is your thing, and you've not had committees, people have peer reviewed it, and I've had other people like yourself read it to make sure I wasn't just blabbering, but like, it is one of those things where it feels a little bit more, I guess, dangerous, because like there's not, it's almost like you're taking the floaties off, I guess.
Yeah.
You're swimming. The
wheels have come off. You're riding on your own now. Like,
yeah.
So
that's what I am academically. I personally, I am a delight. I live in North Carolina. I'm from Georgia. Go Dogs. Sorry, Christy. I like cats and red wine and sports and various other things. I like to, you know, you always want to do these sort of like Tinder profiles for yourself or what? Sorry.
Right.
Student brand. Whatever. Dating.
What are your hobbies? Yeah.
What are your hobbies? And I'm like, when you start working full time, you're like, what are my hobbies?
What do I do?
My hobby. What do I do?
Sitting down.
Sitting down. You and I. We Christy and I, after we get off this podcast, are going to watch Love is Blind.
We
can actually say that. I guess we can say that.
We can.
I'm going to say that we can. If we get sued, we don't have any money, so you're not going to get much.
You can have my debt. It's fine.
You can. I have a cat, if you want a cat. That's probably the most expensive thing I own. But so that's maybe a hobby. Is the old Love is Blind.
It is. I mean, truly, it is a fascinating show.
I put my undergraduate psych degree to work whenever I watch. I do love movies, music, and people who are passionate about those things. I can talk for a lot of time about that. And I have more strong opinions in my old age, but typically I like people who are just enthused in that world. My husband's big into Star Wars, and now all of a sudden I'm really deeply invested at like a level that I don't think I could have predicted for myself.
The things that we do for those that we love, right?
Right. I mean, I was an Ohio State fan, and then all of a sudden, because Christy liked them.
And then all of a sudden.
All right. So that's me. I'll try to think of other things. I'm sure they will come out as we go. But yes, why don't you go ahead and go, Christy?
I do feel like our listeners are going to learn all sorts of things, just like my students do. I tell them all the time, you're going to have the most random set of knowledge about me when you leave this class.
they tell me I get a faraway look in my eye when I'm about to go off on a tangent. And I'm like, wow.
My students, they did tell me that they can tell when I've gotten a song stuck in my head because I immediately shut down. I can't do anything other than say the lyrics.
I thought maybe you just like bopped your head.
No, I just am like, oh no, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious is stuck in my head.
Oh no, I thought you were going to say Taylor Swift at least.
It's usually the most random song in the world, but I hate it. Maybe one or two words from it, and then all of a sudden I have to sing it. Well, I'm Christy. Let's see. I am from Colorado Springs, Colorado, so a plethora of information can come out of that as well. I did my undergrad degree at the University of Northern Colorado, which means that also I went to a state school and a directional state school. And for those who've been to directional state schools, you know that we know how to party.
A UNC, not to be fooled with the other UNC.
Not to be fooled with the other UNC, although I will also say that a lot of times I would say that I went to UNC and people would just assume Chapel Hill and correct them.
You said it to someone one time, and even though I knew
watched me let them believe.
I was like, what?
Nope. Northern Colorado, go Bears, which you have to say with no enthusiasm. Go Bears. I did my undergrad in English and creative writing. And then I did go also to seminary. I went to Denver Seminary. I did not do an MDiv. I did the academic route. I did an MA in systematic theology, where I was,
bless your heart.
I was one of two girls in the program.
Oh.
It gave me a thick skin. I have nothing but love for my faculty, but it was certainly experience at learning how to defend myself and my interests. And then I went back to UNC Colorado to do a year of English master's before I decided to start my PhD, where I went to the University of Glasgow, and the rivalry with Leah.
Bitter
rivalry. And I did the, when I started, it was a full-fledged program at Glasgow called the Literature, Theology, and the Arts Center, I think that it was named. But that is what my PhD is Literature and Theology. So that's typically what I do, is analyze systematic theology through literature. Sometimes I also do it with pop culture. So Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Lost, my two favorite ones that I've done so far. I also did some work on theopoetics with grief, because I usually am talking about trauma when I do theology, which is a deeply uplifting thing.
Which fits. That fits.
Trauma and sex workers. And
okay, mine's violence, so that's
yeah. I took a lot of breaks while writing my PhD to just read fun things and watch Happy Things and eat chocolate because it was so depressing.
I got the job at an Irish bar, so it's okay. We all have our burdens to bear.
We have our burdens. My supervisor would tell me sometimes, I think that you probably need to go spend some time like just watching something funny. Have some chocolate. I'd be like, okay.
That's fair.
I graduated a year and a half ago. And then I moved to St. Petersburg, Florida, where I now teach. And I teach both humanities and religion. So it's a good intersection of my interests.
I didn't say. That's been, she's got one of those holy grail jobs.
Yeah, it's, I'm incredibly grateful for it. And my colleagues are lovely. It's really interesting because I'm primarily interact with my music colleagues. As much as I love listening to music, I have absolutely no musical skills whatsoever. So it's been interesting to be able to like listen to them and interact with them.
She is going to take hand drumming, though.
I am. Guys. I'm hand drumming this summer just for fun. It's going to be so weird.
to which I responded, what drumming is not with your hands? Which should give you an insight into my musical prowess.
Like Leah, I also like red wine and Love is Blind. And we should probably get ourselves some of those gold goblets to drink from.
Epic choice. Love that. Love that journey for us. I'm going to see how many copyrights I can break
in the first
17 minutes.
We just get sued by everyone immediately upon this.
I swear if, what is it, Levy? If Dan Levy says he's suing me, I would be honored.
Oh my God, it would be the best day of my life.
And then he would be like, no, for real. And this is his lawyer because he's clearly not going to call you up and tell you.
And I would be like, I don't have any money, but I do now have this story, and that is everything to me.
But once again, let me tell you about my cat.
I do have to interject with this story, though, yeah. Because I, as a Coloradan, I obviously am a very hardcore Denver Broncos fan. And when I was young, I don't actually remember him as a player, but there was this player for the Denver Broncos called Randy Gratishar, and my brother had his jersey, but it was like a child-sized jersey, so he gave it to me. And then when I was in my 20s, Randy Gratishar was signing autographs at a car dealership, so I went and got his jersey autographed, and I like walk in and I hand it to him, and he's like, oh my God, where did you get this? And I told him, and he goes, can I buy it from you? I've been trying to find one for my grandkid. And I said, no. your grandson has you. I have a jersey.
I was going to say, surely you can request this.
I know, right? Why can't you surely can get this yourself, sir. But can you sign my jersey?
But did he sign it after you told him?
He did. He signed it and he signed a picture, and he goes to sign the picture and he was like, do you want me to put your name on it? Because if I put your name on it, it won't, like, you won't be able to sell it. And then he immediately, actually, I don't think you're going to sell this. I said, no, you can put my name on it.
That's awesome. That being said, I've had people show me pictures of my book and I have yet to hold it. So maybe he really couldn't get a hold of
it. Maybe he really is struggling to find his grandkid jersey.
Like, I have people in the UK, they're like, look at the back of your book. And I'm like, oh, that must be nice. I wrote that.
I can't believe you don't have a copy yet.
I don't have a copy yet. But people keep showing me sections, and I'm like, oh, I remember it fondly.
I remember that section. I know.
But that's amazing. I'm glad you stuck to your guns.
I did. I did. And like I said, it's hanging up in my house now. So
I know. I've seen it. When she says she's a Denver Bronco, like in Georgia, and some Atlanta fans will severely disagree with this, but I didn't grow up in Atlanta. So, you know, there's that. But we're Falcons fans, some of us at least, kind of, because it's Georgia.
Yeah.
UGA fans for me in my household anyway is number one. But Christy is like a hardcore Denver Broncos fan. It's real.
It's real. It's deep. It's a true, true love. My very first Broncos game, I was 3 months old.
Ooh.
Yeah. My parents had season tickets. Me every single home game until I was 10.
Whoa. She has things on her wall I don't even understand. I stayed in her spare bedroom, and this is where her, I don't want to call it a shrine.
It's a shrine.
It's a shrine. The only thing I know is Peyton Manning played for them, and so I forever will have hard feelings about that, but sorry, Peyton Manning. Maybe I copyrighted that as well. If you sue me, I will not have the same reaction. Dan Levy, just so you know.
I will. I'll be slightly.
Christy told me that freaking Peyton Manning had this thing in the Denver airport where it was like, Denver people, I'm sorry. Have you ever heard that man talk? That man is not from Denver.
He's not, but we have Denver celebrities in the airport.
He's not a Denver.
He's a Denver celebrity.
I need to.
He owns a bunch of Papa John's in Denver now.
Oh, is that all it takes?
I think so.
Gosh.
No, well, I think winning us
is Papa John's, if you want to sponsor this podcast, reach out to us.
We do love your pizza. Thank you.
We don't always like your politics.
No.
You know, I work for Chick-fil-A, but that's a different podcast.
That's a different. We'll talk about that down.
We'll talk about that later. So, one of the things is we've been asking you guys to send us in questions. Oh, that's us. Oh, I should say, actually, before we start into that segue, there's going to be a lot of this because we actually are, you know, drinking, which is a part of the Theology on the Rocks.
It makes it
more delightful and not coherent.
And unique.
Not straight line. Is that I did work at Glasgow University as well.
Actually how we know each other. We should have said that too.
Yeah. I did from 2000, I guess, 9-ish to 2015. And then 2015 to 2018, I was at Edinburgh University, practical theology there. And then I moved to the States and was, is working as a undergraduate and master's teacher at a college in North Carolina. So that is the current situation for me. But all that to say, boom, here we go. And also, we've been looking at your questions, even since that were not, which there was some really great ones.
There were some great ones. Yeah, we have some good ones from down the road. Some like really sincere, honest theology questions that we'll be talking about later. But for today, we wanted to do some lighter stuff.
Yes. So in the future, what we thought, we had a really brilliant suggestion that we thought was, well, I thought was great. Christy thought it'd be a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, but it's a good idea.
It's a great idea. It is a very good idea. And I think we can do it. Despite all of our accolades, we lean towards a laid back lifestyle, which tracks really. But we were thinking about doing a theme each week and doing like a drink that's related to the theme that we will drink on the podcast, but also tell you how to make it.
Yep.
My cat's destroying
the recipe. We're gonna drink them together. We will rate the drinks as well.
Ooh. So we need your suggestions about drinks too.
Yeah, recipes, because I am not a bartender.
Right now. Yes. No, I am not. Well, I was, but I'm not anymore. And I don't even know if like pulling pints is like a proper bartending situation.
I've pulled pints before, but I have never properly made a cocktail.
So. No, absolutely not. No. So we're going to be taking themes and suggestions for drinks, and we'll do that each week. However, we did want to, I think we had one suggestion from Twitter. Was that the taco suggestion?
Taco suggestion.
Can I minimize this and see who actually said it? Or will it stop?
Here, I can pull it up on my.
Because I want to give a shout out. Someone asked on Twitter.
I got it. Hold on.
Okay. I'm going to keep talking.
But yeah, you keep talking.
Hold on. Okay, guys. Hold on. Christy has to get her computer out. The question was, what taco would you eat all day, every day? I think.
The Twitter friend is Jay Duvel. I'm not entirely sure how to pronounce his name. It's DEWVEALL.
So shout out. Yay.
He does practical theology as well. And I saw his post about tacos and the excitement of tacos. So
see, I feel like out west is more the
taco land. Yeah.
Taco land.
I thought long and hard about this, and
all day, every day, Christy. It's a lot.
It's a lot. And to the great dismay of taco lovers everywhere, including my niece, I'm not a huge taco lover, but
oh no.
There is
and the end. That's the end of the podcast.
There is a Mexican joint in Denver called Machete, and they have a taco. It's a hibiscus tortilla, and it has like cotija cheese and avocado and baked and black beans, and there's something else in it. I can't even remember, but it is heavenly, and so it's a real hipster kind of taco.
Yeah, I mean, yes,
but it was so delightful, and I think about it frequently.
You're also going to see that Christy and I grew up on very different sides of this United States based on our responses.
You'll get the flavors.
I just want a big old cheese dip taco, please. So my go-to is blackened shrimp tacos.
Okay.
But every day,
I know. I just don't know if I could do any taco every day. That's so much taco.
Well, but that's the syllabus. We have to follow it. So our assignment is clear.
Our assignment is clear. We're failing it.
I think if I had to do every day, I would. There's a paneer taco at a place called, well, I gotta quit naming these places. At a place in Charlotte that I think is a gym, but I don't know if I'm allowed to say. But it has a very sexual name. So it shouldn't be too hard to figure out. It's a common name for the lady regions. And they have a paneer taco. And I feel like I could eat that.
A paneer taco sounds fantastic. I would absolutely.
Really good. Yeah. So we also said, so that's our answer.
Yeah.
Twitterverse, paneer / shrimp tacos
/ hibiscus.
Whatever sort of Southern California thing Christy was talking about.
Amazing.
A lot of, I don't know, avocados and sunshine.
We did get a question. It was pretty on brand for us. Was what is your drink of choice?
Ooh. I have two.
Okay.
You already know this.
I bet
you could answer for me.
I feel like we could answer for each other, but you go ahead. Answer for yourself.
Okay. For myself is red wine. Like, yeah. I drink red wine all the time. You guys know this if you've been around me. If I'm going the route of it's party time, it's probably going to be a margarita.
Here's the question though. Is it like a traditional margarita?
Yeah, I don't want frozen. On the rocks. Yeah, on the rocks. Yeah, frozen's like
too much. Yeah, I agree.
It's running a marathon in curves. Why would you do that? Just get straight to the point. I'm going to guess. I can guess yours. I know that yours is red wine.
I mean,
I guess it's gin related or whiskey related. Those are my two.
I would say red wine typically. And as much as I love whiskey, it's not a go-to. I have to be in the right mood. But a gin and tonic, a proper gin and tonic, is always fantastic. I hated gin, truly hated gin until I moved to Scotland. And I remember the day very clearly. I was on the train from Glasgow to Edinburgh.
Ooh, that's a train right there.
a real experience. And my friend Kira and I were talking about how we neither of us liked gin, and this lady just demolished us. I mean, she was so angry that we didn't, and she made us promise we were going to try it. And so Scotland is fantastic for gin because there are so many craft gin distilleries. And they do not taste like pine trees, which is what I thought gin tasted like.
It kind of does.
But bad gin does. Like, bomb like pine trees. But good gin has other flavors. And so, yeah. So this is the real problem, though, is that, like, where you could hand me a box of red wine and I will happily drink it until the cows come home. I am.
Quite literally.
Truly.
They may never come home.
I am deeply snobby about gin. Like, I am only drinking stuff that I think is worth it. So that's...
Dang.
Yeah.
Says the girl who eats avocado taco. Color me
stuff. I know. It's the Denver in me.
I am snobby about whiskey, actually. Like, Scotch whiskey.
I am too, but you are snobbier than I am.
I am, and that's my husband's fault. My husband is from Aberdeenshire.
Mm-hmm.
So he got me into only liking, which is a very expensive habit.
It is.
Like wine you can kind of get away with if you do it right, i.e. the boxes that Christy was talking
about. The box that's ever present in our house.
They don't have, like, Talisker. In a box.
I have a box of Talisker now.
Unfortunately. God, that'd be...
Although...
One
of my proudest moments was that you and your husband both approved of my Scotch collection.
She's got a great Scotch collection.
So,
we have some... Our really good ones are ones that we're not allowed to drink until Stuart retires. So and every time we have people over... I get really nervous about it because I'm like, usually I don't, you know this, if you come to my house, you can have whatever. It's the Southern in me. I don't care.
Same.
But Stuart, I get really nervous about that, like, one bottle of whiskey because I could just see.
Yeah.
I see a vision of it.
I mean.
Getting cracked. And
it can be so expensive. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the other thing that we were going to do. To wrap up, even though I know you guys are having a great time, is we are going to ask each other a question that's on a theme. Christy and I both grew up Christian, which is interesting that we circle back on that train to theology. Similarly Christian, I would say, different in some ways, and we can dig into that in podcasts in the future.
Yeah.
But we both were in a youth group when we were growing up. Those of you who maybe didn't grow up in these traditions, a youth group is basically where they stick kids over the age of, what, like 13 or 12 to educate them in a variety of ways.
And yeah, and just like separate them from the adults.
Yes, correct. And when I say a variety of ways, I mean that very loosely, depending on which denomination you grew up in. So, we each were going to come up with a question about this particular topic, since we both grew up in it. We don't know what the other one is going to ask.
Yep.
So, do you want to go first?
No, I think this was your pick. So I think
it was. I picked the theme. So I'll let you pick next week. Just a random theme that we both kind of have experience in. So one of the things that youth groups love to do is to do plays. It's a pretty constant thing.
Yes.
I've been a sheep. I've been a heroin addict. the span. So my question to Christy is, can you remember what is the weirdest play or thing you had to act out in youth group?
Yeah, I mean, instantly one came to mind as being, a bit traumatic. I was not in this play. I was in the audience. But I remember it so clearly. And it was this play about how Jesus is always watching you.
Oh.
And so they had like a person dressed up as Jesus who just like followed around one of the actors as they were going about their day. And it was like, you know, in public, the person was like very Christian and happy and all of this, and then they would be like in private doing something not Christian, you know, like
cursing or gambling or
right, yeah, or smoking. I think there was a lot of emphasis on
smoking,
and whenever they were in the private doing the thing kind of in secret, Jesus would look really sad. And he would just stand there kind of behind the kid, like looking really sad and dejected. And it was all about like, Jesus sees everything you do.
Oh, no.
Like, this is incredibly creepy. And like, just so traumatizing.
Also the fact they made him look, I just imagine the emoji that has like the deep frown.
Yes. I mean, just, and like the one tear.
Yeah. Oh. Ugh. But also, ooh.
But yeah, no, it was, I mean, it's clear as day in my head watching Jesus just follow this kid around, occasionally being very
quote unquote bad. This guy's just like, I'm living my life.
He's just like,
gosh,
have a smoke, okay? Look.
I work in a car factory. I have two kids. I just want to live my life.
I'm trying, okay?
Right?
Yeah.
Let me do this.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the theology behind that play is not amazing. No. I'm like, oh no.
Yeah. Another topic I want to one day dive into with you is the Hell House, if you ever went to a Hell House.
I did go to a Hell House. Yeah, we definitely, like, we'll have, like, a Halloween episode about
it. Ooh.
That. Yes.
The trauma of Halloween.
The trauma, yeah.
Coming soon. Okay, so what's your question?
Okay, so I don't know if you saw, but there was a recent announcement that Switchfoot is doing a 20th anniversary tour of their, like, most famous album. Are you gonna go see Switchfoot? / what are your Switchfoot memories?
Okay, so I first saw Switchfoot when I was in college, because I was late on the kind of evangelical game. Thanks. I did grow up Southern Baptist, but like that sort of world hit me a little more in college. So I saw them in college, and didn't think too much about them after that. because Now, keep in mind, I had the albums and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Probably still do. And that giant CD case, which is going to be another episode in the back of the car right now. But, okay. And I don't know if it switched. I think it switched foot because I was on, I can name drop this, Homebrew Christianity with our good friend Tripp.
Oh, yes. Our good friend.
Yes. Shout out. Inspiration.
Shout out.
Love, love, love. But I think he told me the guy from Switchfoot went a bit weird. Did you hear about that?
Oh, I did not.
I should have researched this. See, this is the problem with spontaneous questions. You spontaneous can't do it.
Can't research it. It's okay. We'll have to.
So I would need to, viewers, tell me if, and of course, weird according to my definition, because we all have our lenses. But so I would feel torn if he, it depends what shade of weird he's gone.
Or like, I mean, there's been a bit of that, the quote unquote Christian bands from that time period that have either kind of gone more left or, you know, clung more tightly to the conservative side. And so,
yeah, I think that's,
I genuinely don't know where Switchfoot lands on that spectrum.
I don't either, but it's a fantastic question because absolutely, 100%, I saw them, enjoyed, rocked out.
Absolutely. They were.
He was the one with the hair, right?
Yeah, they had the great hair.
Mm.
It was him and his brother had fantastic hair.
I'm thinking of someone else, I'm deeply sorry. But and if not, then I'll come to your concert and I'll be on. I can't guarantee I'll be on the front row.
But you know what? This is where we need our listeners to give us more information because our fingers are not on the pulse of
Switchfoot. No. No. No, they're not. I actually, part of the reason I don't know too much currently, or well, even after sort of first, second year college, I started listening to a lot of like, Tripp and I did talk about this on the podcast, like pretty intense hardcore bands, like, which is not outside the realm. I went a bit Daria,
yeah,
for reference. And so I was like, oh, you know, those bands are so poppy. And now I'm going to like listen to someone scream about loving Jesus for a while. So, because that felt cooler. But anyway, so yeah, but out of curiosity, maybe no matter which way they went, as long as it's not into some sort of like anti-Semitic neo-Nazi situation, I probably would still be interested. In...
I mean, they're coming to St. Petersburg, so
Ooh.
I gotta say, I'm quite tempted.
Mm. What was their big song?
They had that one that was in Walk to Remember with Mandy. I cannot remember the name of the song, though, but I know she sang it. And then they had a song, Dare You to Move, which is the one that's
that's the one. Yeah, okay, I'm not going to sing it because that will be copyright. But yes, I do know that one. Oh, dang. Okay, well, hopefully I'm completely wrong about this.
I mean, yeah, no, we'll have to find out and circle back next week.
Yeah. All right, well, we're at 43, which feels like a good time to stop.
It does. Thanks for joining, guys.
Thanks. Thanks. Help us fill in the wine gaps in any way you see fit.
Yeah. And we look forward to continuing on with more serious topics next week.
All right. Bye, y'all.
Bye.